Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? It is almost happy hour. I think my voice is about to go, but I'm saving it for the last one here, episode number 5 here in International Builders Show in Las Vegas. And I'm honored to be here in the Rise booth, looking at people coming around, looking at this amazing picture and standing back and saying, what's going on with you guys? We're having so much fun. And I'm here with my guest co-host, Matt. What's Rise all about? One last time here today before we kick everybody off into happy hour mode at IBS.
Thanks so much again for having me, Devin. This has been a fantastic day of amazing guests. And hopefully we've saved the best for last here with Eric G. Just a couple of seconds on Rise. Again, my name is Matt Daigle. I am the CEO and founder of Rise, and you can find us at buildwithrise.com. We're essentially a resource for homeowners who want to have a more sustainable home. And so you can use our site for inspiration, for tips and tricks, professional expert advice, finding pros, and even incentives and rebates in your area to help you save money. So with all that said, let's turn it over to Eric G. And Devin, you want to go with your first one?
Awesome. Well, first off, let's hear Eric G's story. What led you to IBS here today and doing all kinds of cool speaking engagements at this venue?
Thanks, brother. Well, I've been a certified kitchen designer, and in the kitchen design world, I got my certification in 2000, but I've been designing kitchens for about 30 years now. And so creating awesome spaces is kind of in my blood. Now I'm doing the media side, so I've got my own radio talk show host, which is nationally syndicated, which is Around the House with Eric G, where we talk about everything around the house. Maybe it's green building, maybe it's how do I fix this thermostat? Anything's go if it's in the house.
Super cool. So one of the talks you're giving here at IBS is titled Building a Healthier Home, How to Put Buyers at Ease and Set Yourself Apart. In your words, Eric, can you tell us what makes a healthy home, what its advantages are?
You know, as we're making homes more energy efficient, we battle that healthy home even more. You know, when you think about it, back in the 70s in the Northwest where I'm from, we were building these cool houses where there wasn't much down in the crawl space. The air would come up through the house. You had a wooden shake roof that had all this airflow through it, and the homes breathed super well. You didn't have heat issues up in the attic space because you had all that air movement. But now that we're just getting everything so efficient, you got to spend a little more time on making that home so it's healthy, that you don't have too high of CO2 levels, you're not dealing with mold and allergens, you're not dealing with all the different chemicals that can be in there. So there's so many facets to this diamond of your home, and we try to get around that and address it.
Nice. I guess on that note, and something that's near and dear to us, why is it that you think that buyer education is so important? And what do you think, or how do you think home builders can use that to create a competitive advantage for themselves?
I think there's a lot of home builders out there that have absolute amazing intentions, but they also don't understand the job site well enough of some of the warning signs that things happen when they're building a home. So as a homeowner, you walk up and see this awesome, beautiful home. It's exactly what I wanted. It's got that big island. I'm super stoked. But they don't know that that thing in my area in Portland, Oregon, might have been framed in the wintertime. And the whole thing had mold and mildew growing over it before they could get it dried out. And maybe they're going to get moved into that house when it's way too late. And all of a sudden they've got itchy eyes. They've got all these issues. Maybe even the flooring supplier didn't tell them that maybe that stuff wasn't CARB approved and you got formaldehyde coming out of it. There's so many different things that I want to see a homeowner do before they walk into that fresh, brand new house. Because quite frankly, so many builders, and like my discussion today, I was talking about that healthy home. I was shocked to how many builders had their jaws on the ground going, I hadn't thought of that. I mean, it gave me chills because I was talking about it and you were over there sticking your head in. I was just blown away of how many were like, oh, I have no idea. And I'm like, this is bigger than I thought. I was trying not to freak out on that, but it was shocking. 75% of the crowd had no idea that that was even an issue.
It's fascinating and scary, right? And that's why you got to come here to physically see where different levels are all at, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So you're also giving talks here about new technologies, which I'm super passionate about, and the whole smart home thing that is just going gangbuster year over year. What role do you think new technology plays in creating healthy homes, and what problems can they solve? How should home builders be learning about and integrating this technology into the homes that they build?
There's so many facets to that as well. Like, we've got a little display over there. It's got the Velux skylight in it. Well, it has its own sensor inside the room that's measuring temperature, humidity, and CO2. So if you've got that dinner party and you got 25 people over and you're having a great time in that really tight house, and your CO2 level's cramming up to the ceiling because everybody's breathing, having a good time at your dance party, it's gonna open the skylights up automatically and bring fresh air in. If it notices that the humidity outside is much drier than inside, it's gonna automatically do that. Now, you as a homeowner have control of those settings, but then if a rainstorm comes in, it's gonna see that coming in and it's gonna close it for you, so you don't have a water issue inside your house. That's just one product. And you start getting into, you know, garage door openers that have cameras in them that you can, Amazon can open it up and put the package inside. And all of a sudden you're not dealing with theft of packages off your front porch. So there's just a lot of different things out there when it comes into even temperature controlling in your house that you can now have at your fingertips versus just set the temperature on the thermostat and walking away and having no idea that your house is at 70% humidity and you got mold growing everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, totally right. with all these different booths, all these different manufacturers and builders around, what do you think the importance is of strategic partnerships between builders, between vendors, manufacturers, etc., in building a smart home? You know, how does one know who they need to hire and work with?
You know, it's a common problem, because the problem is the smart home technology. Every day, something's different. It's a moving ball. And if you go out in January of 2020 and say, okay, I'm gonna specify these products are going every single one of my homes, 6 months, you could have a huge compatibility issue. Great example, Nest Thermostat, Google bought them, awesome. Well, they locked it down and made it so it doesn't work with a lot of products. So what used to work on the brilliant smart control system, now you can't control it. You got to change that to another brand thermostat because they want that to work on the Google platform.
Right.
So my best advice to people out there is start with your hub and make sure everything works with that. If you go pick 6 products you want to go, now you're working backwards trying to make a hub that's going to work with it. So let that hub be your foundation and then branch off from that. And then really, if you want to have tech support down the road, and I'm not paid to say this, but to be honest, you can go buy as a builder, you can get a 1-year contract with Geek Squad to go with your home warranty, and there'll be tech support on any product out there that's technology related, whether you bought it from them or not. And now they've got tech support, and you're not getting, as a builder, a 6 a.m. Sunday morning phone call from Mrs. Smith saying, why aren't my blinds opening on Bluetooth?
Yeah, have you heard about this? Just a random side note, but I did hear recently that some of these major manufacturers like Google, like Apple, they've actually joined forces to create a single protocol where all of these devices can be working together. So your Nest could work with, you know, your Alexa or, you know, whatever it is, because they're all, you know, like you said, there's so many disparate devices and you all want them to work together in harmony. How do you get that to happen? How do you make that happen?
That's what it's going to take, is those guys just finally laying down the swords and going, okay, we all got to play nice. And I think they're doing that. You know, we're not there yet, but at least they're working on it. You know, and I think that's the future. And I think you're going to see, and I was just talking about my last one, I think you're going to see TVs really becoming the new smart home device too. That's going to be another one of those things, just like your phone, where you're going to be running your thermostat and all that management just off your remote control.
Yeah, great bit of advice is you got to get the brain for that smart home, right? That is the central hub, and get that dialed in and understand that and do the research there and then find the right components if you want to do it today. But it's going to continue to become more and more of a mainstream thing.
Think of that hub as a language. Okay, this is going to speak French. Well, I need everything else to speak French. I need everything else to speak English. But sometimes you got 4 languages going and it's just not going to play together. Now, it'll work. You're just going to have a dozen apps on your phone you're going to have to go, oh, I need to control the lights. Where's my lighting app? And you're scrolling through looking for your lighting app versus having a one-stop shop.
Yeah, and the expectation is just plug and play and it just works in one platform. But that's a process, right?
Absolutely.
So when using this new technology and building methods to create high-performance, energy-efficient homes, how do you ensure that the old ROI word, ROI, and that you're always getting your money's worth when you're doing that? What's your advice with that?
I think smart homes for most people, especially millennials that are coming out of the downtown condo, that I'm going to have downtown condo living, this is great. It's super fun, but all of a sudden they start having kids and they realize that maybe taking the train to take the kids grocery shopping isn't as easy as what it sounded like on paper. And so as you're seeing people move sometimes out of those condo living cities when they want to have a little suburbia life, I think when you're seeing people go out there, they're expecting to have that smart home system, because it's no different. I mean, there's generations now that are people that are getting into home buying range that have had a cell phone their entire life. And so you've got that instantaneous Amazon delivers to me this afternoon. This smart home stuff is no different than having light switches around the house. It's expected. So I think as we get into that and as buyers get into it, and I think even as people that are aging in place and are using smart home things to be able to stay in their home a little longer, I think for all of that, it's going to be more and more important. And I think it's going to be a key marketing tactic for builders going to sell homes, of having a smart home that when the customer walks in, they spend an hour setting up the whole system and it's all working beautifully and they're not having to figure it out on their own. It's a turnkey setup that's an option with a house.
So you may have noticed our friend Neil over here.
He is awesome.
I'm glad you like him. He's
I'm a little offended I wasn't asked for that photo shoot.
You can be a stand-in for the next one.
Yeah, I'll be the stand-up. How about that?
we're doing a photo together after this. We may end with a bang.
Great. I got more seminars tomorrow, so before I get 86 out of the show, I better get those knocked out of the way.
So. Well, you have to go to the show notes, and you'll see what we're talking about.
So for us coming to these shows, we wanted to stand out a little bit, and so we brought our friend Neil with us, and the title of our campaign this time around is Sustainable is the New Sexy. And I've been asking this to every guest that we've had so far today. I wanted to know what sustainability is the new sexy means to you.
You know, it's an interesting topic because it's something that until now I hadn't really thought about, you know, because I love sustainable products. You know, I'm in the Northwest where there are trees everywhere. And we have managed forests, and logging and stuff up there when it comes to building is a really interesting topic. You know, because most of our land in the state of Oregon is government owned. A majority of it is forest land. So it's not private land. It's stuff that's sometimes managed, sometimes not. And so it's really a hot button issue from where I come from about that. Are you taking down trees? Are you doing this? Are they planting them? And we have fires and things like that. So it's a very complex issue. I think sustainability is awesome. I'm not a big fan of a lot of plastics coming into homes these days and some of these composites, because in certain situations, I think they're great, but I think there's other things where it's completely unneeded. For instance, I like composite decks in homes because you're using sometimes wood fibers, you're using up post-consumer waste, and I'm not putting cedar down every 7 to 10 years that I'm having to throw away and put in a landfill because it rotted out in beautiful Portland, Oregon, because wood decks don't last. And more importantly, I'm sitting there restaining a deck every 2 years and putting chemicals on it that are getting washed off into the ground because that finish is gone in 2 years, no matter what finish you put on it. And so under your deck, you're just washing off finishes, you're sanding it. It's not a healthy situation. So there's pluses and minuses with it, but at the same point, I don't like wasted plastic out there. If we can reuse stuff and use sustainable products, I think we're just better off.
Yeah, that's a very good parallel of saying the right time and the right place on different products and the right looking at the trade-offs, because that's what it's all about. And that's what I've really enjoyed being part of Rise's platform, because that's what they're looking at from the consumer, the homeowner's perspective, to talk with influencers like you to get the different trade-offs to say what is the cause and effect of real wood versus a composite, because there's trade-offs with all those that a lot of homeowners may or may not be aware of, right? So we're big fans of what you're doing with that platform. But on every one of our podcasts, this has been built for contractors and affiliates to grow their business. And the platform, our tagline that we say, it's for connecting technologies and products to the right handshakes. And that's what this IBS is all about, right? We're going around trying to figure out where do things mesh. So the question we're asking everyone is, what is the crystal ball for connecting technology to handshakes in your eyes with the future of construction? And we've talked about smart home, but just in general, what do you see for that topic?
I think it starts out before we even build a house. I think that design moving forward is going to be virtual reality. When you're designing that house out, you're going to be designing with virtual reality VR goggles on, and you're going to be able to see that house. And as a builder, you can sit there and walk that customer, Mrs. Smith, through her kitchen design for this brand new house. And she's in there with the VR glasses on, and she's clicking what the marble countertops and the quartz countertops and everything looks. You have your selection process in the VR goggles. You can do that today. I think that's going to keep growing and getting bigger. And that way, when the house is being built, everything's framed up. You can see the great room. You can see the everything within the house, the vaulted ceilings. She can see it in stud form and have no idea what's going on. And you can create a VR situation where you mark it on the floor, and now she can see the house finished and see what it looks like at that point with the selection she's made. So I think in that process is going to get much easier because it's going to help visualize. But I think going on with smart homes, it's going to make efficient homes. It's going to make healthier homes, because now you can actually measure what those things are inside the house. You can see what the CO2 levels. I think we're gonna start seeing home monitors. They're gonna be checking out VOCs. I think you're gonna see it where you're gonna see mold and allergen testing within the house. It's gonna come up on a display. That's gonna be there so you can see it real time and know that you've got a problem before it gets to be you're in the hospital and figuring it out later.
That's gold. Our Art of Construction team, we call it the AOC Lab. We're actually a few of the booths here, Oknoplast and a window manufacturer called Arcadia, we're doing the scans of their booths where we're putting that into where you can now virtually, if you didn't come see this, because it's like so much stuff and so much there trying to understand it. But everybody wants it in front of their or in their VR goggles when they need it.
Yeah.
And that's, I couldn't agree more of like there's so much out there. But it's that just in time or the Amazon effect that we've been talking about.
Absolutely.
And I totally agree with VR and then augmented reality and all these other things to where if you're scared of the goggles, there's other resources to make that happen, right?
In under 5 years, I'm going to make this prediction right now so anybody listening to this podcast in 5 years can see if I'm right. You're going to put on a set of regular glasses and you're going to be able to go through that and see it without putting the big VR glasses on. You'll be able to see through those glasses and see what it's going to look like and have those mesh together in that semi-virtual world, and you'll be able to do it without those big VR glasses. I think we're at the beginning of that technology.
Yeah, and when you go to, there's the different fingers from, so we're here at International Builder Show, which is the 800-pound gorilla in our industry, and you need to be here to the legacy and all that stuff. But then you have these fingers of Autodesk University, where you can go put on the HoloLens today, which is much more of a concept, but it's working to that, or you can go to Digital Built Week in Seattle and you can see these different silos that have built up. But that's what the Art of Construction is all about, is being this pipe that runs right through those silos. And we're honored to be with companies like Rise that are doing that with the consumer in mind, running through that to try to figure out where all this stuff is going. So the last question I have for you, and thanks so much for coming in and being our last honored guest here in the black couches of the amazing Rise booth here, and all the cool people from Canada I've met today. What is that one thing you want to leave contractors and affiliates thinking about to go out and crush it and grow their business?
I think thinking outside of the box. Now that's a really cheesy tagline, but today the one thing I've noticed out of the last 5 seminars I've given here is so many builders and contractors that were there that I was talking about what seemed to me really natural, easy stuff, hadn't been part of their thought process. So I think going out and continuing your education, because this industry is changing day by day more than I think it has in decades, that if you can stay on top of that and stay on top of technology, you're gonna create a better home for your clients. And most importantly, you're gonna probably create a healthier home for them. And if you stay on top of that, it's gonna be a much better situation while reducing your own risk in your own business.
Love it, love it. Last question, where can people get a hold of you?
All right, I'm on everything social media.
Awesome.
So if you search anywhere around the house with Eric G, and I'm on, if you want to listen to my podcast, I'm on every podcast format out there, from Spotify to iHeart to radio.com, any one of those different podcast format, you can check me out over there. And then we also have a closed group, which is kind of a fun thing. It's Around the House Nation on Facebook.
Oh, cool.
It's where people come in. It's a safe space. It's everybody can be, everybody's respectful, no politics, no nothing like that. But people post up their projects and they get world-class people around the country that comment back. We had Frank Sinatra's architect telling last week a guy how to fix something on his house and how to design something. And it was super cool.
Well, what a day. Thank you, Rise, for having Art of Construction be a big part of your booth today. And man, what an awesome group of industry leaders, from having Eric here to Doug Asano, Elena Money Garman, Todd Gamboa, so many industry leaders that we're all going to package together. And these will be coming out outside of our fireside chats throughout. So look for the upcoming months for all these different podcasts and many more from the Art of Construction. And we're honored to be here and be a small part of the big story here at International Builders Show. And that's why we call it the Art of Construction. We're here to take all the awesome Erics and all the team out there, and we'll put links to the show notes for your podcast. And there's so many of them out there now. And once you get hooked, you just got more and more and more, and we keep the juices flowing. So thanks so much for having us be part of this, Matt and Eric. Thanks for ending it. What a great show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good luck with the rest of the presentations you have this week.
Absolutely. Thanks again, guys.
Cheers.
Great time.
Cheers.